I would like to discuss what the cross means to us. What do we see in the cross? How well do we understand it? What is the value of the cross in our lives? We know that the cross gives us forgiveness of our sins and salvation, but we need to examine it in more depth. We should always go deeper into the value of the cross in our lives. What was accomplished at the cross? This morning we want to briefly review what Jesus accomplished for us at his crucifixion. In the hymn at the cross that we sang this morning, we read, "Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." The Chris Tomlin version of At the Cross that we sang this morning states, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Are we in awe of Jesus and the cross this morning? We should be. So what was accomplished at the cross? Revelation chapters 21 and 22 give a description of heaven. A place where there will be no sorrow, tears, pain, or death. Each side of the city has three gates that are made of pearl. Angels are at the gates. The wall of the city is 72 yards thick and made of jasper. Now, if I'm doing my math correctly, that's 216 feet thick. That's just the wall of the city. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, with each foundation composed of a precious stone. These stones, as we read in Revelation 21, include jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, and amethyst. The names of these gems are only an earthly representation of something heavenly. Actually, the foundation of the wall is more beautiful than we can visualize from the names of these gems. The streets are made of pure gold. Now, you know what? Especially with inflation these days, the price of 14 karat gold. Imagine the streets made of pure gold. We'll be walking on gold up there. The splendor, the radiance, and the glory of God is so great that it lights up the entire city, so there is no need of the sun or the moon up there. Time is an eternal day up there because there is no night, and you'll never get tired in heaven. Wow, I can't wait for that. You'll never get tired in heaven. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2 speak about a river clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God, and a tree of life bearing 12 varieties of fruits. And in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, I love this picture of worship. That's why I emphasize it so much. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, tells us about a multitude of angels, 10,000 times 10,000. That's like, so many millions, if you put that together. It's probably even greater than that. Anyway, they're worshiping Jesus, saying, "Worthy is," that's what we sang this morning, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Imagine 10,000 times 10,000 angels singing that. And guess what? We could join them. Don't say, well, oh, I'm not up in heaven. You praise God. He hears you. Didn't God hear the praises of Paul and Silas in prison? I like the way Brother Mike brought it out. Amidst all the worship in heaven, God's looking down. He saw worship going on earth. And you know what he did? He sent an earthquake to loosen the prison. We are part of the world. Don't say I'm sitting in half-empty, mostly empty church. Wish there were more. But anyway, don't say we're only a few of us in here worshiping. God is hearing your worship. So when we come here to worship, give Jesus your all, especially a communion service. You are, without a doubt, joining the angels, that 10,000 times 10,000. So it's 10,000 times 10,000 plus Matthew, plus Anderson, Dylan, and Chelsea, and we have Mike over here, and we have Sandra and Nancy. 10,000 plus us, and whoever else will come. 10,000 plus the children into Sunday school. We're part of it. So when you worship the Lord, give it to him from your heart. He's listening, as Brother Mike brought out. Now, we just read about heaven. Thanks to the cross, this is what we will have in our future, and possibly very soon. You know, look at the Middle East, what's going on. Possibly very soon. If you could turn with me to John chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3. I'll give you a moment to get there. John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read in King James this morning. These are the words of Jesus the night before his crucifixion. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We know this is actually speaking of the rapture. I will come again and receive you to myself. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples that he would be leaving them and going to prepare a place for them and us also. Sometimes when Jesus taught, he would allude to a custom of that day in order to help the listeners to understand what he was talking about. When the disciples heard, they knew Jesus was referring to using as an analogy the Galilean wedding, which we saw in the video a couple of months ago. When Jesus knew that he was leaving and going to prepare a place for them, he was alluding to this custom of the Galilean wedding. In this custom, once the man was committed to the woman he was going to marry, he would build a place for his future wife and family. When this work was completed, the marriage occurred. And Jesus is coming for us soon. And as I said, maybe very soon. When we view current events in these last days, remember what Jesus has waiting for us, all because of his brutal suffering and death on the cross. That's why I brought out the topic of heaven. The only reason we're getting there is because of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. Otherwise, we'd be going to hell in plain English. So what else was accomplished at the cross? What about healing through shed blood? We have healing of every known infirmity through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. There is healing of the mind at the cross. How do we know that? Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Whatever sorrow or grief you may have this morning, give it to Jesus. He died for it. He can handle it. He knows what grief and sorrow is about. There is healing of every spiritual condition at the cross. Did Jesus carry every type of malady at the cross? Nothing excluded. He paid it all. When Jesus said, "It is finished," at the cross, no, he was saying, paid in full, everything. Forgiveness of your sins, healing of your body, soul and spirit, everything. Paid in full, thank you, Jesus. That's why I emphasize worship him. Worship him. What about infinite love? Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. I'll read to you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, in an immense, infinite love, left his throne in heaven to come to this, let's say, miserable planet, sinful planet, so that he could die for the sin-ridden land. He took abuse from man who he created and came to die for. He took abuse from them. He permitted this abuse to go to the extreme of scourging and crucifixion. He created every man that beat him, that pulled out his beard, that slapped him, that beat him with those leather whips with pieces of iron at the end to make sure that he would bleed profusely. He created those Roman soldiers. He knew what was going to happen to them. He created them anyway. He did it for us. He didn't have any sin. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. Worship him. Jesus could have come down from the cross. Matthew 27:42 reads, he saved, this is what they told him, from the foot of the cross, describes the Pharisees and all that were against him. Saved others. Himself he cannot save. Oh, really? He could have. He didn't. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. What a great temptation. Jesus could have come down from the cross, healed his wounds, and delivered himself from all that unbelievable pain and torture. He healed other people. Why couldn't he heal himself? Imagine being able to relieve himself from that horrible, excruciating pain, and he wouldn't do it. No, it took more power to stay up on the cross, knowing he could come down and heal himself at any moment during those 6 hours. It took more power to stay on the cross than put up with the pain that he was dealing with on the cross. He knew he could have come down at any point during those 6 hours. He was told to come down. He didn't. How come? Us. One word answer. Us. Because of his great infinite love for us, he would not come down from the cross. Not only did he not come down from the cross, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 reads, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What joy? What joy do you get out of agonizing, excruciating pain for 6 hours? That's not joy. No, his joy was the joy of our salvation. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you this morning. The angels saw and were horrified at what was happening to their Lord, but they were not permitted to help. How come they couldn't help? They had the power. You know why they couldn't help? Because Jesus himself wouldn't let them. Jesus was not forced to come to the earth and go to the cross. He willingly went to the cross. He decided to be the sacrifice for sin as soon as Satan sinned and contaminated the universe. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. What about infinite power at the cross? We already discussed power at the cross to heal all our infirmities and diseases. At the cross, there is also chain-breaking power. From the song, "He Bought My Soul," there's a line, "He loosed the chains that fettered you and me." How many people have chains on them that need to be loosed, or have had chains on them that Jesus did loose? Know what happens when a person with chains comes in contact with Jesus? They fall right off. He doesn't like have to even break them. They fall right off. There is power to heal all addictions, whatever the addiction might be. Deliverance from all sin and bondage. There is power over all darkness at the cross. Power to take care of all our burdens. Power to wash our souls clean. Life-transforming power. You hear it when Teen Challenge comes here. How are these men and women freed from substance abuse that they've been on for years? One answer, the cross. Or we could say Jesus. Life-transforming power. Power to make the greatest sinner into the greatest saint. Remember that Paul was a mass murderer. He found Jesus and became one of the greatest evangelists of all time. He wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. When Jesus hung on the cross, it became much more than 2 pieces of wood put together. It became an infinite powerhouse because Jesus hung on it. When you come to the altar for prayer, remember the infinite power of the cross. If there is an issue that you cannot get past and you think, "I'll never get out of this situation, it'll never resolve," bring it to the cross this morning. If you think you have a problem that you can't solve, a burden you can't handle, bring it to the cross this morning. There's wonder-working power at the cross. Power beyond our ability to understand. Power beyond our wildest imagination at the cross. The power of the Almighty God at the cross. This is why we say, bring it to the cross. Whatever it is, bring it to the cross. Whatever you bring to the cross is greater. You can't bring something to the cross that cannot be rectified or healed. Impossible. Whatever you bring to the cross, God can handle it. Whatever it is. Don't say, "I'll never get out of it. This will never be resolved." Bring it to the cross. There is victory at the cross. There is no problem, no heartache, no enemy, no attack, no evil that could stand up to the power of the cross. Impossible. At the cross, there is victory over all sin, death, and hell. Hell has no power over the cross, and all of hell is afraid of Jesus. All you need can be found at the cross. There is nothing that cannot be fixed or remedied at the cross. There is no problem of any kind that cannot be solved at the cross. There is no need that can be met that cannot be met. Whatever you bring to the cross, Jesus can take care of it. He already paid the price for it, paid in full. Do we appreciate Jesus this morning? Are we in awe of him as we sang this morning? Are we in awe of Jesus? What about the glory of the cross? The hymn states, I think it's up on the screen, "In the cross of Christ I glory." It says, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time." Whether or not the person believes it, the cross does tower over all time, all civilizations, all opposing beliefs, all opposing religions. It towers over all of man's accomplishments. The cross towers over all of history. Its power towers over any power known to man. What else in this world has the power to redeem from hell? Maybe we don't talk about hell enough. Could you imagine what eternal hell is like? I studied hell for quite some time. We owe everything to Jesus, everything. The cross has power over hell. Great monuments, statues have come and gone over 2,000 years, but the cross still stands in the hearts of all believers. You can still see images of the cross on landscapes. Before the crucifixion of Jesus, the cross was a symbol of hatred and shame and criminality. After the crucifixion, the cross has become a symbol of forgiveness, hope, mercy, and love. Who else could accomplish that? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Even the cross was redeemed because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Today, the cross is invaluable to and very dear to every believer, and I think to everybody here. To the believer, the cross is most valuable in this life and our hope for eternity. There is no value that can be placed on the cross of Jesus. It is more valuable than any precious metal or gemstone. It is more valuable than any amount of money. You know, people put so much emphasis on money. We're richer than the richest man on earth because we have Jesus in our lives, and Jesus is going to take us to heaven. We are rich people. It is more valuable than any amount of money. The riches of this entire world pale in comparison to the value of the cross. The cross is an incomparable gift given by Jesus. As we said earlier in the message, the Chris Tomlin song that we sang this morning, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Are we in awe of Jesus this morning? We owe everything to him.